Oppression of all kinds is injustice. Let us be kind to the humankind. Let us treat with dignity and respect all people of all races, irrespective of religion, caste, language, and gender differences. Let us be kind, especially to people of lower status, the elderly, females, children, and those who are poor. This is Dr. Kondur Abraham welcoming you to Life Changes radio broadcast. Rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. And I will praise Him.
Feel you near, but hardly breathe, intoxicated by you. Next to me, the closer I get, the more I see, the more I think, the less we'll be. But I know that I feel what you feel. If you would just tell me those three words, I might hear. If I've been hurt before, so what's to say that we won't play this game I played before? It's up to you to prove to me that we're worth fighting for. If you could stay here next to me, I'd tell you so much more than just the words you mean to me. Gotta think things through, free my mind, gotta free my heart, broken twice. Gotta search my soul, my destiny, gotta live my life, be truly free. But I know that I feel what you feel. If you would just tell me the three words, cause I've been hurt before. So what's to say that we won't play this game I played before? It's up to you to prove to me that we're worth fighting for. If you could stay here next to me, I'd tell you so much more than just the words you mean to me.
Some years ago, newspapers in India reported the tragic story of a family of five who committed suicide. The reason reported was that the father, who owned a restaurant, had a major financial loss, and as a result, all five of them drank poison and killed themselves. I'm sure everyone who read the news was shocked and would have asked many questions as to why they committed this gruesome act. Why did even the older children or his wife decide not to join him? How could these parents allow their children to join them? It seems everything boils down to one thing. The family was so ashamed of their financial loss that they killed themselves. The key element that destroyed this family was shame. The question then to ask is, whether the shame was because the father failed in his business or because he was unable to live up to the expectation of the public. If we further analyze shame, we might even wonder whether it was this man's fear that people would have thought of him as a failure. I shared this incident as an introduction to present the topic of shame. People experience shame in different ways. A child who has difficulty with school work may experience shame in front of his peers. A person who fights habits such as drinking may experience shame in the company of church members who do not drink. Shame, whether we realize it or not, plays an integral part in determining the emotional status of an individual. Because our society is so family-oriented, the shame of an individual is usually absorbed by the entire family. As we imagined, that is exactly what happened in the aforesaid situation. The relationship among the family members was so enmeshed that they all responded impulsively to the advice of the father, who himself was not in a normal state of mind due to deep depression. If the same type of business failure would have occurred in the Western society, which is more individually oriented, the family would have been more objective with the situation. As a matter of fact, even declaration of bankruptcy is very much accepted and encouraged by the Western society. Perhaps starting another business in another location under another trade name would have been the viable option that this counterpart in the Western society would have adopted. Western families do not absorb shame as much as the Easterners do. In extreme cases, wives might even leave their husbands who become suddenly poor. Now that we have gone in a little deeper into this subject, let me explain how shame is developed. People constantly strive to match the expectation of other people instead of pursuing their own individual goals at the pace they are comfortable with. Secondly, people seek attention by way of exhibiting their possessions and positions. For example, what is the motive behind constructing an extremely big house? Is it for convenience or because the family wants to project a good image to the public? What is the motive behind hanging out with rich friends? Is it because rich friends are the nicest people in the world, or because the individual would like to project his aristocratic affiliation? Instead of accepting and trying to overcome one's own inabilities and handicaps, individuals compete. When they lose, they see themselves as failures. Even within a family, the individual tries to do better than the rest so that he or she will do better, recognized and respected. A failure in this matter will lead the person to shame. Another group of actions that lead to shame are wrongful doings or sinful acts. The individual who commits sin feels ashamed because of his act. Perhaps he enjoys the act, but the resultant disapproval or punishment from the society leads him to shame. Now, what does the Bible say about shame and sinful acts? There is a lot that the Bible says about this topic. For example, David, who committed adultery and murder, wrote Psalm 51, depicting his shame and guilt. The most interesting thing is that David did not experience shame until he was caught. In any case, we find David seeking God and for his forgiveness and restoration. And he was indeed restored completely. We have a story in the New Testament where Christ talked about a young man who felt deeply ashamed about his act. But he turned around, returned to his original state, and lived happily ever after. The story is that of the prodigal son. Let us analyze the steps that led the prodigal son to shame. Firstly, he asked his father to give him his portion of the wealth. It becomes apparent that it was an untimely distribution of wealth. Parents usually distribute wealth at their own convenience. So asking for this distribution was the first thing that the son was ashamed of. In other words, going against the norm of the society led him to experience shame. Secondly, leaving the household with the wealth that he got was a mistake that he was ashamed of. Leaving home meant leaving responsibilities that he had at home. Thirdly, he wasted all of his wealth with his friends. Then he was ashamed of both living a very sinful life and losing all of his wealth. Finally, he is ashamed that he is working as a laborer, feeding someone else's pigs and eating with them. He was ashamed of his physical look, his position in the society, and his lack of acceptance among his friends. But the most striking thing about this young man was that he had the sense to overcome his shame and guilt by taking a few deliberate steps. He made a decision to return to his father. He had built enough trust and confidence in his father that he knew that if he returned, his father would take him back. He knew that his father, who trusted him unconditionally with so much wealth, would also take him back unconditionally. Secondly, he decided to apologize to his father. As the story continues, this young man made his return journey in rugged clothes. His father, even as he saw from a distance, ran to him, embraced him, and welcomed him home. The boy was given a ring, a token of his father's assurance to the son that he was fully received back to his position in the family. The father also made a big feast for his son. Here we have a great model. The same steps that the son took can apply to whatever situations we go through. These are the steps. Repent. According to the Bible, the angels in heaven also rejoice over a sinner who repents. Then return. Take a deliberate step to return to start all over. There is nothing wrong in starting all over. Do not give up because you failed once. You should keep trying until you make it. And then finally, rebound. A ball that is full of air will bounce back as soon as it hits the floor. If we have enough spiritual strength within ourselves, we can rebound when we fall back, when we hit the ground, and when people say that we are utterly destroyed. Instead of yielding to shame, bounce back and prove to the world that you can. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 we read, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Friends, thank you for listening to Life Changers. I'd like you to take a few moments and write to me and let me know that you heard this program. That will encourage me to continue this radio ministry. I'm really interested in knowing where exactly you listen to me from, what state, you know, what country. So please let me know you listen to this program, and also let me know how clear the program was. And when you write to me, do mention your prayer needs and counseling needs. I will definitely get back with you and also send you our quarterly newsletter. And in addition, I will also send you a special gift. So please write to me. I'm going to give you two addresses. The first address is in India. The address is Life Changers, FIBA Radio Box 25066. That's again, FIBA Radio Box 25066, Bangalore 560025, India. The address in the United States is Dr. K.B. Abraham, P.O. Box 550032, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33355, USA. That address again is Dr. K.B. Abraham, P.O. Box 550032, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33355, USA. And my email address is kbabraham@aol.com, kbabraham@aol.com. When you write, please do request for a copy of my book titled Life Changes with 52 Inspirational Radio Talks. Thank you for tuning to Life Changes, and I hope you will tune in again next week at the same time. This is Dr. KB Abraham, producer, and Tom John, engineering, saying goodbye for now, and may God bless you.